Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Just as a week ago yesterday marked my 10th anniversary of installation as the pastor of this congregation, so a week ago, 10 years ago, yesterday, if I can count right, marked the first sermon that I preached as pastor of this congregation. And it also happened to be on what we may call Good Shepherd Sunday, when the gospel for the day was from John chapter 10. And Jesus called himself the Good Shepherd. And that's appropriate, isn't it? Because, of course, the word pastor means shepherd. And just as Jesus referred to himself as the Good Shepherd, so much of the shepherding that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, does, he referred to in our gospel and is done through shepherds, through pastors whom Jesus himself calls and sends out into the world to tend his sheep. Jesus says in the gospel, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep." The Old Testament prophets tell us of many such hirelings in the Old Testament, spiritual leaders of Israel who were wicked shepherds, who led God's people Israel astray with false doctrine, into false belief, and into all kinds of impenitent behavior. Those same kinds of wicked shepherds, hirelings, were around at the time of Jesus. The priests of the day, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, again, hirelings, preaching false doctrine and most often preaching to the people what was good for them, what would keep them safe, but not what God's true word was for his people. That's why so many of the Old Testament prophets pointed the people ahead to the coming of the Christ, the Son of David, who would be a faithful shepherd, a good shepherd, a shepherd who truly loved God's people, who truly cared for them, a shepherd who is the Lord. As we say in the psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd," and yet who also on earth would actually physically lead, guide, feed, and protect God's people. That's exactly what Jesus did, what he spent his ministry doing, leading God's people in the way of truth, guiding them away from sin toward repentance and faith in him, feeding the people with the true word of God and with the forgiveness of sins, and protecting God's people from the devil by coming between the sheep and the wolf, by laying down his life for the sheep as the atoning sacrifice for their sins. Now think about that. This was more than just a willingness to lay down his life for the sheep. It was a determination to sacrifice himself on the cross for the sheep. A soldier, for example, may be willing to give his life for his country, but no soldier goes off to war in the hopes and with the determination that he will for sure give his life for his country. He hopes that he doesn't have to. In the same way, a fireman may be willing to sacrifice himself to save someone in a burning home, But he always hopes that he doesn't have to, and thankfully most of them never do. But Jesus is the good shepherd, because he was not only willing to die, but knew for sure from the beginning, even from eternity, that he would be laying down his life for the sheep when the wolf came to attack. It's why he became a shepherd in the first place. That's love. That's devotion. And that love and devotion, that once for all sacrifice for sin, belong to Jesus alone as the good shepherd. The shepherds of Jesus, the ones whom he sends, are not the good shepherd and never pretend to be. But the love of Christ, the death of Christ, must still be preached and applied by faith to those who hear. Without that preaching and the faith that comes by it, the sheep are still in danger from the wolf. The wolf can still enter and scatter and destroy. So, the Good Shepherd, risen from the dead, now gives some to be pastors and teachers, as Paul writes to the Ephesians. Now he comes through the preaching of his shepherds and still stands against the wolf. He teaches his sheep through the gospel. He converts sinners by his Spirit. And through his shepherds, he warns his sheep of the danger of the wolf, of the danger of the countless false doctrines and false teachers that surround us, of the devil's own tricks and temptations, and of the insidious nature of their own sinful flesh. That's Jesus, leading, guiding, feeding, and protecting his people through the pastors who faithfully carry out their God-given ministry. Then Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd for another reason. He says, "I am the Good Shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." When it says that Jesus knows his sheep, it's not the word that just means to know who somebody is, like an acquaintance. It's much deeper than that, much more intimate than that. I know my sheep, Jesus says. It means I know them intimately. I know everything about them. I know who they are, how they are, how they think, how they sin, what they want, and much more importantly, what they need. As perfectly as the Father knows his beloved Son, and as the Son knows the Father, so Jesus knows all his sheep. And he says, "I lay down my life for the sheep," even knowing them, even knowing you perfectly with all your faults, your weaknesses, your open and secret idolatries, your public offenses against your neighbor, and your private sins. Jesus, who knew you, laid down his life for you because he still loved you and wanted you to be saved from your sins and to spend eternity with him. But how is the Good Shepherd known by his own, as Jesus says? You didn't know him automatically when you were born into this world. Nor did he ever speak later on directly to your heart and reveal himself to you somehow. You know him only because he has taught you who he is, what his voice sounds like. He has taught you through the Word. He has taught you to recognize him as your good and gracious Lord, who laid down his life for you and who is always merciful to all who seek mercy from him. and through him. And so the shepherds of Jesus have spoken and continue to speak, but it's still his voice that is heard and recognized. But if shepherds are to speak for Jesus so that you hear his voice, that means they must be called and sent by Jesus to speak for him. And once called, they must actually speak like Jesus, faithfully proclaiming his truth from the Holy Scriptures and faithfully caring for those entrusted to their care, for those sheep whom Jesus knows and cares about so much. Now, as St. Paul writes to the Corinthians, "For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, we are the aroma of death, leading to death, and to the other, the aroma of life, leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things?" Who is sufficient to serve the sheep whom Jesus loves so dearly and knows so intimately? Who is sufficient to proclaim Christ rightly, to shepherd his flock faithfully, as genuine representatives of the Good Shepherd? Well, thankfully, Paul also answers that question. "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." So in all the shepherding done by Jesus' shepherds, it's still Jesus doing the shepherding, making his ministers adequate for the tasks that he wants to accomplish among his sheep, serving his sheep exactly how and when and where he knows that they need to be served, because he knows them. And he sends his shepherds to tend to their needs, so that even though they see their pastor standing there in the pulpit or sitting there in their kitchen or in their living room, they should hear the voice of their good shepherd. Finally, in our gospel, Jesus says, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." As St. Paul writes to Pastor Timothy, "God our Savior desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all." Christ wants all men to be saved. He died for all, a ransom for all, so that all might come to the knowledge of the truth, so that all might repent of their sins and believe in him and be eternally saved. Of course, he knows that not all will believe. Some will stubbornly resist his Holy Spirit to their own destruction. But he also knows each and every person, each and every soul whom his Spirit will bring to faith and preserve in faith until the end. He knows who they are, where they are, when they have been born, or where they will be. Even before they're born, he knows them. He chose them in eternity. And he himself, the Good Shepherd, as he says, must go out and bring them in to convert them from unbelief to faith and to bring them safely into the flock of his holy Christian church. But as you know, Jesus is not walking around out there preaching and teaching and calling out to the world, bringing in his sheep without means. The verse I quoted from 1 Timothy earlier goes on, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, the man Christ Jesus, to be testified, for which I, Paul, was appointed a preacher and an apostle." This is how the good shepherd goes out seeking and bringing in his sheep. He goes around the world. He stays in one city or moves to the next. Sometimes for a matter of days, sometimes for 10 years, sometimes for longer. Through this apostle and through that one, through this pastor, through this bishop, then through another. Preaching, teaching, tending, mending, baptizing, giving to eat of his body, giving to drink of his blood, that his sheep may be brought in and led to good pasture, tended and mended through word and sacrament, until the good shepherd comes at the end of the age to raise up his sheep from death to life and to lead his holy Christian church into the pastures of eternal life. So whether it's through me or through someone else, whether it's for another 10 years with me here or someone else, whether it's through Bishop Heiser or through another bishop in the future, know for certain that Christ the Good Shepherd will continue to speak, will continue to go out to lead, to guide, to feed, and to protect his flock purchased with his own precious blood. As I told a member recently, any good or right or useful ministry that you've received from me, whether here from the pulpit or in your home or at the deathbed of a loved one, that was really Jesus ministering to you as you needed, when you needed. Anything false, anything foolish, anything useless, well, that was me getting in the way. May God prevent all such offenses in all his shepherds. And may you hear clearly the voice of your good shepherd whenever any of his pastors speaks in his name. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.